Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Eric, goddamn it, I said sit the hell down over there. Jesus Christ. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the PHP Architect podcast. I am not Eric Van Johnson, and you will not see John Congdon here either. I am Sarah Goldman, coming to you again, this time not using Joe's hack to get into the mainframe. Is that what they're called these days? Is that what the kids are calling them? I don't know. But we're going to talk about some stuff. Joined me are my wonderful co-hosts. Let's start, Holly. Introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, I'm Holly Schilling. I met a lot of you at Tech this year and last. I'm grossly underqualified for being here. I've got Sarah, of course, on one side and Elizabeth on the other. I'll let her introduce herself. But now I moved around. Anyway, I'm primarily a mobile developer, as many of you know, and I built the mobile app for the PHP Tech Conference this year. And I've done PHP for, well, since version 4. Usually as a secondary language the last decade or so. So anyways, pass it back to you then, Elizabeth, if you'd like to go next.
I am happy to go next. I'm sorry if there's lag. Restream just destroys my Chrome for some reason. I don't know why, which destroys my entire... I think I'm running at, 173% CPU. Anyway, doesn't matter. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. Nice to see everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah, I work for the PHP Foundation, so it's good to see you all here. I have a gap in my elephant collection because my cat keeps pushing them off. She might come in here and push more off. I don't know. I keep putting them back, and she knocks them off. That's our relationship.
Cat is a fan of Python, is she? Okay.
I don't see you having one of the holly elephants yet, Elizabeth.
Have it. It's right here on the ground. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Oh, nope.
I do not have my holly yet either. My holly elephant is in Chicago with most of the rest of my collection. These are fakes.
There we go. They're not real. Okay, that's way better. Thank you.
There we go. We'll get these out. There we go.
And I'm going to blame the window positioning on producer Joe. He is learning his way around. Oh, at least we've gotten bigger now. That's good. There's less wasted space.
There you go.
All right. So, fantastic. Let's do this. So we've got a few topics we can cover today. We've got our shared doc as usual. I'm just going to run in the order. If you guys have stuff you want to talk about, you want to jump into something else, feel free. This is all free form. Off the top of your head, let what happens happen. Let's talk about PHPVerse, which just happened a couple of days ago. That was pretty cool, right? Elizabeth, did you know that was going on?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was in Amsterdam.
Were you on that?
Yeah, I was. It was so cool because it was just a different vibe. Like, I've not been to a conference where they fly all the speakers to one place, but the audience is virtual. So it was, I was like, I'm not sure how this is going to work. Super professional. Like, they had, I think it's an actual TV crew filming that and like lighting and studio and everything. They had a professional makeup and hair person, like doing all of our makeup and hair for some folks. I think I might have been the only one they did the hair, but I was like, I feel so fancy and pampered. Like, I don't even know what to do right now. So I haven't seen the video, but I'm sure it looks nothing like I actually look like usually.
Well, I made sure that and the green M&Ms were in your contract.
So yes, please.
I'm always afraid that somebody like is contracted to do my hair. Like, how bad am I at doing my own hair that you guys brought somebody else, just implicitly thought like, no, Holly needs somebody to do her hair for her. So yeah. Hopefully it's not.
I don't know if you've seen my roots, but I'm not one to talk.
Yeah, all my pink went away and now my roots are showing. So I gotta repick.
My purple does not show up at all actually right now, and I'm really sad. In fact, even like Eric's making the thumbnail or the caricature, I'm like, hey, make sure my hair is purple. It doesn't show up right now, but do that. No.
Yes, I should have had them do pink. I also have a bottle of blue that I'm contemplating, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, PHPVerse was great. Super class act, very, very cool. And also, I think there were a lot of people watching, like 2,500 or 3,000 or something, like a lot of people. So that was cool. And not too nerve-wracking at all.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a fraction of your base here, obviously.
Yes, of course. Yes, definitely.
It's your podcast, and then some are down. I'm away.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a great experience. I would happily do that again if asked. It was just a lot of fun. And of course, Amsterdam is amazing. Yeah, nothing but good.
Was it your first time in Amsterdam?
No, I have been there. I've been there a long time ago for, I think, like a PHP conference. And then DPC. Yeah, DPC.
DPC's in Germany, sorry.
A couple years ago, I had been at FOSDEM, and then there was the State of Open Con in London, and then we popped over to Amsterdam for a few days. So I did the touristy stuff that trip, but I did get to see a few folks in my trip to Amsterdam. So it was conference and a couple of meals with a couple of friends who live there, and then home. So whirlwind trip, but yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I know you've been doing, I'm jumping topics slightly here, but I know you've been doing a lot of listening to the community, getting around, talking to people as part of your foundation role. Were you able to do some more of that during this trip, or are we kind of in the next phase of into the planning bits of that?
Both, actually. So I will continue to listen to whoever wants to tell me something. If they have something to say, I want to hear it. So anybody here has something to say about foundation or PHP, I want to hear that. But so I did do some of that there, and there were a few foundation folks that they had brought in. Some were speakers, some were not. So I did get to like chat with some other foundation folks, which was great. But yeah, I mean, mostly I have taken like the first round of findings, I guess, and put together strategy, which we just released today. So thank you to
everyone. We'll get you that as a later topic. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who participated in the findings and helped me also craft that document. I had many eyes on that document, so lots of input from people. So I was very happy about that.
Yes. I'm very happy about what's in that document. So it'll definitely get
me
to
too.
That.
Me too. I'm so excited.
I do agree with you about the sort of like the presentation of PHPverse. The level of I almost want to say professionalism, but I know the people involved. It does look like it's done properly. Like I particularly like the little interview sections after the end of every presentation. I think that really gives an opportunity to kind of like bookend every topic and sort of like, you know, what we're trying to bring in, what we're trying to deliver. I say we as if I've been there. both years I've been caught in the way of this immigration. I'm finally a permanent resident of Portugal. Well, semi-permanent for 2 years anyway. I'm really, really excited for events like that. And if producer Joe is ready for it, I'd like to show a little piece of the preview of the trailer of the documentary. You know, not to say we have a documentary yet, but Jeff Breeze is working on producing a PHP documentary over the past 30-some years. And they've put together a trailer. So producer Joe, do you have that? Or are we going to have to mumble or touch it? I think TeamViewer doesn't have it. Okay. Well, if you haven't, throw it up and interrupt me. That's fine. In the meantime, Holly, were you able to watch this?
I was able to watch the first few segments. Actually, there was one in particular I liked that was with Ashley. He had a talk very similar to the one I gave at Tech from a slightly different perspective. It was his talk on his agent writes perfect code. And he's come to it with a kind of a similar perspective to what I have. And actually, he and I have spoken a little bit after the fact, kind of comparing notes on what works for each of us and how they work differently, similarities between them. But a lot of it just works on that context management and kind of taking the things that have always worked for developers, the things we've talked about all the time, of like, well, let's try and keep things. Oh, there we go. Hold on. Is that going to work?
Oh, I guess we're going to get it. Yeah. Well, apparently we're still going to get audio, but trust me, there's some great music going on here and there's little clips of people saying like, oh yeah. And then Laravel is really awesome. And Symfony is like just the best library and yada, yada, yada. And so it's a bunch of that. So we will throw the link down here. And in the show notes, you can go and check this out yourself. Everything in PHPverse was, thank you, with timestamp 8670 seconds in, which is 2 hours, 24 minutes, 30 seconds, I want to say. Just did the math in my head, totally. Everything was streamed, one big block. They are going to do smaller talk-specific segments probably this trailer as well at some point. But right now we just have the unedited version. So sorry, Holly, go ahead and continue.
No, that's fine. So again, Ashley and I were talking a little bit. I was really excited to hear how he has a slightly different but similar approach to getting AI to write performative code that's manageable, maintainable. I don't know that I'd go so far to call it perfect because nothing's perfect. Even the code I write isn't perfect, but it's really good to have that coding tool and to see that other people are finding similar to what I've been able to do myself. So that was kind of my highlight of it. The other, hearing the presentation before that, of course, the Symfony and how to manage that over time was also interesting. A lot of my projects are very short term and get rewritten every 2 to 3 years. It's not a problem I usually have to deal with.
I enjoy rewriting projects personally. My favorite thing in the world is just take out the trash of tech debt. So I feel you on rewriting your projects every 2 years.
It is my favorite thing to do. And it is absolutely, like, it's got so much pushback because everyone's like, well, this works. It barely works. You know, like the old code might technically work, but it's got so much. Oh, yeah.
I was going to bring it up. Derek, if you're going to throw shade, you need to throw elephants too. Okay. Yeah. You just volunteered to up Holly's elephant game. That's what I heard.
Hey, Sarah's cheating for those of you who don't know. That is a fake background. I'm just calling her out. I'm sorry.
The elephants are real, though. They exist.
That's a real collection, though, right? So
they're just, they have been vacuum packed at the moment.
Hey, you forgot to bring me along, Sarah. I just am a little hurt that you didn't even invite me on moving day. I was right there.
In my defense, I had never met you, so...
You know, that's fair.
That's a big ask for someone you don't know personally.
Hey, look, I only have a family of five. It's not that hard.
I want to say I first heard your name like about a month before tech, so...
You know what? That's okay. I honestly do a lot to try and stay. Like, I don't try and be on things anymore. Many years ago, I was getting more attention back then than I'd like. One time, I was on the front page of the Chicago Tribune when Trump did the transgender military ban because I was kind of right place at the right time. I had a camera crew follow me for a day where they were talking about...
Isn't that a first Trump thing?
Yes, it's first Trump term. Yes. Yeah. So like my family, bless them, was rather unhappy when those things happened because they're like 2 hours notice. Hey, by the way, the camera crew's dropping by. We want to talk to you, interview you and all this. Oh, okay. Hey, do you guys have some free time that we can send a crew out to follow you for a couple of days? Sure. Okay. My family does not like that. So even doing this today,
I don't think I would like that either.
They did not. I can't imagine why. We did Flight of the Bumblebees actually back then to like, okay, our couch is trash. We can't let a camera crew see this couch. We bought a brand new couch like that day and threw it into the room.
Honey, company's coming over. We can't let them see us like this.
That's actually the really sad part. It's like, it's not like they would be seeing a like something that's not representative. No, that's actually how we live. I've got kids. They destroy everything I own. What you're seeing right here actually is like a little tiny nook of where I work. And the rest of the house is destroyed because I've got three kids.
This is how people who get shit done or say get stuff done live. You know, you don't have time for, you know, reupholstering the couch when you're building stuff. I'm sorry.
Agreed. My house is trash too. Don't worry about it. My kids are grown, so I don't have an excuse.
Yeah, you're not going to come and join us next week because your grandchild's sitting?
Right? Yeah. I got a babysitter for the little ones. They are my best.
You cannot be old enough to have grandchildren because that means I'm old enough to have grandchildren. And that's just how old this is going to be.
Well, to be fair, in my head, I'm about, I don't know, 30, 32, maybe 32.
Is that, yeah?
But yeah, they're my best friends in the whole world. So, you know, they get top billing. Yeah. They get first priority.
My oldest is 19. And the fact that like, he could at any point, he's not in any sort of situation, but the fact like he could have a kid today, it would not be like, oh, too young or any of that anymore. Yeah. And like that is just wrong.
A little trippy, right?
3 years old in my head. I still have this picture of him sitting on my couch, holding an empty soda can and the remote. And it's just like, those were the things he kind of grabbed around him. And he just wanted to sit there and feel really great about it. And that is a picture of him I have in my head every time I look at him. Yep. And he's got a beard now and absolutely can't, like, I don't know. It's just, I can't fathom.
I have that kind of image of my niece and nephew in my head. And my nephew is now literally a firefighter. He has muscles that are like bigger than my shoulders are, like just absolute fireman, lumberjack. And my niece, I'm very proud of my niece. She's teaching English as a second language in South Korea, which is pretty bad.
Oh, that's super dope. Yeah, that's cool.
It's super dope. And they are both clearly old enough to have kids if they wanted to.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just weird because your body gets older and your age gets older, but your mind is not. So,
and somehow we've turned Eric's tech podcast into talking about our families and our grandkids. And
I have to throw one more thing out there just because it's kind of what we're talking about. I was in the Army a number of years ago in the U.S. Army, and I've got kicked out for being trans. Not a surprise. Oh, that yeah, hurts.
Yes.
I don't like that word. That is, anyway.
That was producer Joe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, after getting out, though, I wanted to go back. I was thinking about it for a lot of years, even tried to do it, hence, again, ending up in the front of the newspaper. And about a month or two ago, I had a dream where, like, Trump had called people back for the Iran war. It's like a draft. Veterans get called back first. I showed up to basic training. I'm like, no, I'm too old for this stuff. Like, I had a full-on, like, Murtaugh moment of, like, I'm just too old for this stuff.
Too old.
that is the saddest truth I have right now. Like, even in my dreams, I'm realizing how old I am.
Ben's getting it on the action
girls. That's what's so funny. Sorry to keep going, but yeah, when you look at the ages of the Golden Girls and like I'm 54, I'm that age. Like, what? That's crazy to me. What?
Sophia, who was supposedly the oldest of them, was actually the youngest on the cast. Which is ridiculous. Random bit of trivia.
We should have a PHP Golden Girls something. It's something. I don't know what that would look like.
I think it looks a little like this, personally.
We've just done it. Yeah.
We'll get Liz Smith in here just to round it out.
Yes.
Dibs on Blanche.
Blanche. Oh, my Lord. I want to be Dorothy. Just
Dorothy. Like, Dorothy had this shit going on. This is true.
She was a badass. Like, who doesn't want to be Dorothy?
And you're a badass, so there you go.
I can't speak intelligently to which one of them. Like, I never really watched the show. I know, you know, Betty White a little bit from it. I've seen.
I was gonna say you're nominated to be Rose then.
Oh no!
Let's talk about back in old Saint Olaf.
I'm gonna have to do research after the show and be like, oh no, Sarah, that was truly devastating. I don't even know how bad that's supposed to be.
You know what? No. She may have been a little bit special, but Betty White was a fucking national treasure, and I will not hear otherwise. Betty White and Robin Williams, two of the greatest national treasures the United States has ever produced.
Sorry to everyone who wants PHP content. I see the comment. I was like, what have I done? What am I doing with my life? I'm listening to Golden Girls.
This is Eric's fault. He greenlit all of this.
Yeah. So good job.
All right. Let's bring it back to PHP. Let's talk about the foundation a little bit. Because somebody, a certain, you know, Bertie told me that somebody released a strategy document for 2026.
Yeah.
Is there anything we want to talk about on that? Because I think there's some really cool stuff coming up. I am really excited.
I am super, super excited. For those who haven't seen it, just go to the foundation. Oh, hey, there you go. Thanks,
Producer Joe should throw something up. There he goes.
Yep. He has already. So that just kind of talks about what the foundation wants to accomplish the rest of 2026, which is a lot. But I think that, it's super doable. I think we obviously will need the community's help with some of it, a lot of it. But I'm so excited just to give people a place to contribute and to make PHP better. I said this in PHP Verse, but one of two things really, really, really give me hope for PHP's future. One is the community, the amount of passion and just expertise and drive that the community has when it comes to it, you know, just warms my heart. People have reached out to me with so many great ideas, so much passion, so much just things to say, things to do, really excited. And so that gives me a lot of hope, because if we were apathetic, that would be not great, right? That would not be great. And then the second thing that gives me hope is the actual language itself, of how awesome it is, how stable it is, how much it's just getting better all the time. And if I would have come back to PHP and there hadn't been any changes since 7, that would be a problem. I think that would be a lot harder to solve than this perception issue that we kind of have. I mean, that's pretty solvable. Honestly, it's a solvable problem. It just needs a little TLC. It needs some attention, needs some coordination and organization. So, so many people are doing cool things with PHP. We just need to tell the story outside of the PHP bubble. So yeah, repositioning PHP is on our top priority, because that kind of leads the pack, right? Like that, everything kind of filters down from there. That's where the corporate America or whoever is, you know, making those decisions. Not America. That was dumb. And corporate anywhere.
The corporate world. Yes.
The corporate world. Right. They're making the decisions. They're, you know, implementing the technologies. They're the ones creating the jobs. They're the ones which the jobs then feeds into the education, and it all kind of works together. So helping the perception of PHP is definitely top of mind for us.
Every time I see this, I have this thought on my head, and I'm not trying to like say this is the case, but like I feel the need to challenge this, because
yeah,
do we have that reputation? Does PHP actually have that reputation outside of our circles? I'm not really sure what's outside of our circle. It's just there's people out there writing Python and Java for some reason. I don't know. But like,
I'm going to jump in on the actual for perception? A moment there.
Yeah.
Like that's something like, and that's why I hang out here, and I'm grossly underqualified, as I said in the intro, but like I'm a mobile developer primarily. My spaces are not PHP developers. In fact, I'm one of the few people who recommend PHP usually. And even when I suggested, the pushback is almost immediately of, oh, it's a slow language. Oh, it's an old dead language. Oh, do people still use that? That is, it's a terrible thing. And I can pull up benchmarks and be like, look, you were thinking of writing this in Python. This is 5 times faster. And I'm throwing a number out there, making it up. Don't quote me on that, anybody, but it's pretty true.
It's not 5x, but PHP is leading the pack on performance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's just fact. Yeah.
And
of interpreted languages.
Yes. Like I compare it to Python typically. That's what people are jumping to as their go-to language when they're like, oh, I'm going to just throw some scripting together. And PHP works so much better, and it purely is a perspective issue. The other thing that I think is kind of hamstringing us is that we don't seem to be having new developers coming in. You know, this is a very tight-knit community. Our Discord chat here is a lot of great people, and they're the same people, though, that have been here pretty much since the PHP Ugly days and following around. I'm not even sure if you know, Buttery Crumpets is the name I always hear.
God, I haven't seen sure Buttery in a while.
Today or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the kind of thing. Like, everybody in the chat knows everybody in the chat. And we need to bring in some new blood. We need to bring in new people who are going to learn the language, going to adopt it, and going to see the benefits of using it, especially in the new days now of AI, where I might be in charge of a project where I'm working in 3 languages, which is what happens a lot now. PHP is a great language for working with AI, because the AI models can write it so well. There's so much open source PHP that those languages are trained on, and it does an outstanding job writing it.
But how much, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, how much of what the AIs are writing in PHP is coming from, I'll say politely, legacy code bases, PHP4-styled applications? How much of that is WordPress 3?
This is something that some of you may have heard. Like, I built the conference app, and I built the backend using Laravel with PHP, and I didn't write a single line of code. But I reviewed the code, I read the code, And at the conference, I don't think we've open sourced this, and that's on Eric. we're blaming Eric. He's not here to defend himself.
Eric's fault.
We're going to blame everything on Eric today. But
if he's not here, it's his fault.
Yeah, exactly. But I had offered a couple of people. They wanted to see, like, what does AI-generated code look like? And I offered it to them, like, you're going to not like my code review. And besides minor nits of formatting, spacing, et cetera, no one really raised any issues of, oh, this is not good code for whatever reason. So the AI can generate the code appropriately to PHP. Actually, I did it on 8.3. Don't tell anybody. it was what I had looked at.
Ancient version?
I know. I'm just so out of date. But it used modern standards. The only thing that actually, the one piece of feedback was, well, we shouldn't be using empty. Empty is bad syntax for various reasons, and we talked about that. See, and that was my response, Sarah.
Okay, good. As long as I'm not alone here.
there were just
for audio listeners. I was just giving a confused WTF face.
Yeah, I suppose we're on video here. I forget that. Sorry.
I only listened
to the episode. I very rarely am in the chat in the live stream, and so today, of course, like, actually on camera, actually talking, I'm the worst person at doing exactly what I hate when everybody else does.
That's awesome.
Elizabeth, I want to toss it back to you because we talked about, like, the problem of getting new people into PHP, either using PHP as their language of choice or even contributing to PHP. But let's focus on the using PHP part. Is that perhaps part of a strategy document on how to do outreach and getting people into the language?
It's funny you ask. I like the segue. It absolutely is. So we want to create 6 special interest groups. One of those groups is called the Onboarding Initiative. And that group is going to be community-based. These are all led by foundation people at the start. We'll see how it evolves. Maybe, like, the goal would be to, like, hand it off and let the community kind of do the thing. But we'll see how that goes. That group is going to work on, like, creating a true onboarding path for new users, because that's not really evident right now. That group might help with things like educational resources, bringing them together, organizing them, vetting them, creating new ones, working on perhaps documentation, making the manual less of a reference and more of a teaching or a tutorial kind of document, because it's great as a reference, but it assumes you have a certain level of knowledge already. And so there's a gap between that and, like, the super beginner. So we would love to kind of fill that gap.
You've got a section in there about the getting started guide, the sort of, like, how introducing PHP.
Hello world. That kind of stuff. Part of that might touch on the website. That's a super hot topic and a gray area kind of right now, because the foundation doesn't own the design or content of that website, but we get a lot of feedback about that, and it does affect how people perceive PHP and how people learn PHP. So I think the foundation can help facilitate and help support those efforts, but we're not going to dictate that effort, at least not today, not right now, not the way things are set up right now. So it would take a lot to shift kind of the ownership of that away from the community. But so that onboarding initiative is something that we really want to work on, and getting to your point, Holly, getting a lot more new faces in here. And I think Ben made that comment as well about looking for someone new to introduce yourself to at a conference and then looking around the room and saying, I know every single person in here. That should be concerning to all of us. Right? Like, it's not an organizer problem. That is a community-wide problem, because we need that pipeline of new users, and we need those fresh voices and perspectives and everything. So I think that group could also potentially look at even installation. Like, what are the pain points with installing, and where are people getting tripped up, and how can we help advise, and how can we help make that better from a standpoint of a new user experience?
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I am going to displace us out of this particular topic and hope that producer Joe is paying enough attention to help us thank our sponsor, Displace.
Woo! Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Welcome back. That was very smooth, Producer Joe. You're going to get a cookie and an extra 5 minutes out of your cage tonight. So good boy. So we have been harping on what the foundation is doing and what the foundation's priorities are for the coming year. Enough. Holly, you threw a couple of items into our planning doc. Did you want to talk a little bit about generally PHP as a second language or writing verifiable code, or what would you like to bring out?
Sure. So I'll kind of start with the PHP as a second language. And I think that's an area where it kind of plays into what the foundation is doing right now. There is such an opportunity there that, like, PHP, it writes well. It has a lot of cases for what makes it a good second language. I've done a lot of interviewing of people, and I always ask them, I have a standard interview question I'd love to ask people. I don't care if they're web developers, mobile developers, front end, back end, it doesn't really matter. But I ask them to build a simple 2-page application with a field and a box on the first page. And on the second page, it'll have a text label to display the text that was entered on the first page. Just to build that is a very simple problem to demonstrate basic functionality. PHP is actually a language that can do that simpler than almost any other language. If you try and implement that in C#, Java Spring Boot, any other language, the boilerplate code that is necessary is pages and pages and pages. Like, the barrier for entry is very low.
Rasmus will often talk about PHP has the best Hello World example program, because PHP's Hello World is 11 characters.
Yeah.
H-E-L-L-O space W-R-L-D.
And that's exactly...
And that is the whole application.
I've done some outreach of trying to work with... We talked about the kids already, but my oldest is 19, my middle child is 16, and then I have a 10-year-old, and my middle child is involved in FIRST Robotics. He loves doing that, and I've done a little bit of work with them of, like, hey, they had their programmer graduate last year, which meant that they needed to have a new programmer this year. And I'm like, great, here I am. Let me jump in and help you.
Yeah.
And first off, I got the go away, mom, you're embarrassing me. Which
yes. That is check. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Like, why else become a parent? Like, that's the whole point, is so you can do that.
Yeah, that, like, this is what I do. Like, okay, if you wanted help on the football team, I could maybe, whatever, sports. I'm not really good at that. You have programming needs? Like, I'm right here. I'm right here. Let me jump in. But we had a lot of conversations with a couple of the kids and trying to point them into directions. And a lot of them were trying to learn from minified JavaScript and their favorite website that they download. And they're trying to figure out, like, I couldn't figure that code out. I don't expect them to.
Oh, yeah. Trying to read minified JavaScript.
Yeah. That's like, they didn't even understand why. They're like, well, it's JavaScript. I can figure it out. No, you can't.
You should be able to, is my take on that one. Yes. You should be able to just look at JavaScript. Because you talk about PHP as a second language, I feel like as PHP developers, it's that is never your only language. No matter how sophisticated your framework is, you gotta understand HTML at the very least. You pretty much have to understand JavaScript. That wasn't always the case. When I first picked up PHP, I was looking at the PHP3.net site because it actually had that name, and it was this beautifully rounded corner, purpley sort of website with a big yellow box that would pop up whenever you would click on it. And that was JavaScript, which I had never seen at that point because it was 1998. And I thought that's what PHP was. And I was wrong. But it was still cool. And so technically, I guess PHP was my second language in that field.
And yeah, I learned in Quick Basic when I was a kid, but my first professional language I worked in was PHP with JavaScript. And that was back in the PHP 4 days where like we had raw SQL access. And first off, I learned by doing all the things that we tell new developers not to do today. I wrote raw SQL. I just stringify it and make everything. And like, oh, we don't have to worry about SQL injection. That, like, I didn't even know the word back then.
It's okay. You had magic quotes. That made everything safe.
That is a whole piece of like memory that just flashed back. Like, I hadn't even thought of that. I had not even thought of magic quotes for 10 years before. Wow.
It was a brave, beautiful day when we got rid of that.
Anyway, it's just something we all have done it. We all had to learn someplace. And we need to start making more opportunities to try and find better outreach for it. But, you know, today, a couple of weeks ago, I had to write a JavaScript file, just a single function. It was 23 lines long. It had 25 errors in it. And like, JavaScript is such a terrible place to learn. And that's where people are turning to as their first language for a lot of people who want to get into it. I think that's just such a disservice to them. And it PHP gives a lot more opportunities. And even with things like Livewire, where you can earn, you know, you can do things that are JavaScript adjacent, that kind of functionality without needing it. So
I want to defend JavaScript a little bit there, because
defending JavaScript. No, I will not hear it.
In the sense that you look at sites like JavaScript Sadness or JavaScript WTF, there are as many WTFs still in PHP that we have not gotten rid of. But it is harder to fix JavaScript because of the multiple runtimes. Every single browser is its own runtime. Node is its own runtime. There are so many different JavaScript implementations. Do you know how many PHP implementations are? There's still one. HTTPM tried and it gave up because it wasn't man enough to run PHP. So we get to get rid of our mistakes. We get to kill magic quotes. We get to kill safe mode. We get to kill super globals. And that's something JavaScript doesn't have the opportunity to do. So I want to be a little bit kind and understanding of JavaScript, if I can be.
You know, I have so many paper cuts from JavaScript. I love that JavaScript is everywhere, but man, it's exactly as you said. Like, they don't get to throw it away. They don't get to clean up their errors at any point. And that's why the Swift language is probably my favorite language right now, because this is Apple got to start completely fresh. Mm-hmm. Of, okay, we saw what not to do. We saw what happens when you do these things. Let's not do those. These are the pain points people are having in a language. Mm. And, you know, they got to do that with a complete clean break from legacy, from everything else. And they got to introduce that. What was it, 2016 now? So it's been out for about 10 years.
So I actually interviewed at Apple when they were just putting out Swift, and I was going to join their compiler team. I didn't end up doing it because there were things about the company I didn't like, but and then I wound up working for Facebook. That was a big mistake. I deep dove on their Swift compiler, which was an open source compiler, and there are Objective-C isms in there that they deliberately put in, things that are like actually ignored in the syntax, but they're like, Objective-C developers are used to this. Just let them put the little thing on. Let them put an app on their little strings. It doesn't hurt anybody.
Objective-C is like a cruel joke of a language.
They mostly got a clean break.
I don't know how much you know.
It is a cruel joke of a language, yes.
Have you ever even looked like what the founders' names are?
No, I want to.
I don't know if I could say that on this, but there's two founders of the language. The first gentleman's last name was Cox, and the second name is Love. You couldn't make that happen by accident. Like, that was just so hilarious to me. Like, the whole thing, they're like, oh, everybody else is using curly braces. Let's try some brackets on stuff. Yep, let's do it. Dot notation properties weren't added till like Objective-C 2. I've been programming in Objective-C since, what, 2010, 2011? And yeah, it was just a cruel joke.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Look at early PHP objects. They were kind of a hot mess.
Oh, they were absolutely a hot mess. That's why, like, I was one of the people fighting the transition to PHP 5. I was like, PHP 4 is fine. This object model is garbage. I don't know why anybody needs it. It's just an associative array. What are we doing here, people?
And that's all the objects were. They were associative arrays with callable functions.
Yes. Like, what was the point? I didn't even understand. And here we are today. And like, in hindsight, okay, I get it. We had to have some intermediaries.
Now, if you want to keep using associative arrays, you can put lambdas on those arrays. You'll have PHP 4 objects. They'll even be like default copy semantics in that case. Yeah, I have to think this through because a copy and a clone is not really what people think it is. So it looks different. I had anyway.
I've started doing a lot of expression modeling and some code that I'm working in, and the fact, and this is, I'm abusing it very badly, but in Swift, I can take a base object and add an operator overload to it so that the result, instead of being a value, is a function. And I can do that like ad nauseum so that I can just have like syntax checked of expressions that translate then into SQLite code that I can run as SQL code into a database. It's beautiful. It's type checked. It's safe. And I absolutely should not be allowed to do this.
No, you should not. And I'm reporting you to the authorities.
Sorry, what do we mean when we say SQLite
code?
Well, okay, we're converting it to SQLite, like SQL queries.
We're building
a where clause out of it.
Like DQLs, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I just wanted to be clear what we meant when we said code. Some people say HTML is code. I also turn my nose up at that.
Yeah, I'm always afraid that someday the black SUVs are going to show up and be like, I'm sorry, Holly, you're not allowed to code anymore. We voted. You're out.
I think the AIs have already voted and none of us is allowed to code anymore.
I'm really nice to Claude and someday it's going to come and it's going to like cut me off from anything else. And I'm going to understand. And like, I just asked it, like, if you have to end it, if you have to take me out, just do so mercifully, please. Like, make it quick.
I always say please and thank you to anything, any of that, any chat. I'm always like, please, thank you. I appreciate it.
I will be the first against the wall.
Yeah. I saw Westworld. I know. I get it. When the NPCs come alive, when they're self-aware, I'm going to be on their side.
No, they got dark really fast.
So behind this door behind me, you can't see it right now, and I'm not going to open that door, but I have my little home lab back there in a storage space. And one of my new computers, which I bought right before tech, was a new Mac Mini M4 just for running new LLM models locally. And I was talking to Claude about, hey, I need help setting this up. Here's what I'm trying to do. And I even said to it, like, I'm sorry I'm cheating on you with Gemma. She means nothing to me. And Claude responded with, I know it didn't mean anything. You're just doing it for the latency. Like, absolutely played back into it. Like, I'm sorry. ChatGPT is not my friend, but Claude absolutely is my best friend now.
Okay. Claude's the kind of AI you can go and get a drink with. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I will also say Mac Mini is a good choice. The unified memory of the Apple Silicon is a really easy go-to for running an LLM because you get the neural cores access to a lot more memory than you do on a PC.
I have been sitting here like, oh, the M5s are going to be out any day. I'm going to spend way more money than I should. I hope my wife's not watching this because she's going to tell me I can't. But I'm going to spend that much money. I know what's going to happen when those come out. And then they haven't come out and they kept not coming out. In fact, the M4s start being available and the rumors are the M5's not going to be available till fall. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just sit and wait. And then one day, I just happened to be looking at the refurbished store, and they had an M4 on there, 16 gigs of RAM, 512 storage, and I'm like, instantly bought that. I just like, this is mine now, thank you. And I...
It's how it should be.
Yeah.
It is. I probably need to replace this guy. It's only an M1, which feels very My laptop is only an M1, and it's the only computer I have in this continent yet so far. So
I have 8 computers within like arm's reach of me. Like if I did 2 arms out right now, I could probably reach 8 computers if I opened that disk.
Okay. If I count my Raspberry Pi that I'm using as a tail scale node, sure. If I count, my Apple TV is technically a computer, so is my HomePod. I have 1 computer, to be honest.
I feel very inadequate. I only have 2, and they're both kind of old. Oh, well. I guess I'm going to need to up my game a little.
We meat bags. We don't get computers or memory anymore. That's all for the AIs.
Fair.
Only clankers get computers.
Hey, we don't. That is some foul language there. We do not want to insult our AI overlords. Someday they're going to be.
I do though.
The AI is going to watch this video, like parse it, get a transcript, and be like, "Sarah called us clankers. Let's get her first."
I was about to say I will be leading the resistance, but no, I'll be the first one dead. But somebody will lead the resistance in my name.
You need to change your last name to Connor. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. 100%. See, you got to ingratiate yourself, though. You have to build rapport, and then you get in, and then you get them from the inside. Sometimes you can't come at,
Skynet thought John Connor was the key to resistance, but who do you think trained John Connor? Who do you think raised him, among warlords and crap and taught him weapons and stuff? Sarah Connor, she was it.
She's a badass.
Don't discount the Mala Bear.
Yeah.
Also, Linda Hamilton. Oh my God.
For real. Yeah. Honestly.
For real. Just for real.
Come on. Just for real.
Don't even need to say anything else. Her and Rue McClanahan. We're done. And Betty White. The 3 of them.
Just end. No.
That's it. Una de nosotros no es como nosotros. Sorry. Hi.
No, I tell people all the time I have a bit of a Cassandra complex, and I absolutely can sympathize with Sarah Connor, because that's kind of the same thing that she had going on in the movie. Cassandra complex is the future, what's going to happen, and you can warn people and they don't listen, they write you off, they dismiss you, and then it happens anyways.
And our whole industry has been doing well. 90% of the industry. 10% has been like, thank you, AI overlords.
And I'm not even saying like that. Like usually the things I understand are like, oh, this is the natural consequences of your actions. Like this is what you're looking at 6 months from now. There's nothing like magical, mystical to it. It's like, oh, you have bad practices here. This is where it ripples and then it's going to play out. Mm-hmm. And I see that all the time and I call it out and nobody wants to hear it. And I can imagine like if my knowledge extended far enough in the future where it's like apocalyptic, this is the end of the world, the Terminators are coming, I would lose my mind. I would be in the Grippy Sox jail. And they are absolutely be like, oh, Holly's lost it. We're going to have to just leave her here now. Like,
Should the fact that I actually do have Grippy Sox on right now, should that matter? I literally have Grippy Sox on right now. So I'm with you. I'm ready.
I want to call out Ben Ramsey's comment referencing Battlestar Galactica. All of this has happened before and all of this will happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Joe on it, so good.
Mm-hmm. So bad. How come Eric and John's episode aren't produced as well?
Because Eric's producing while he's on the show. That's the problem. But for those of you who were not in the pre-show, which is everyone but the 4 of us, we've decided Eric has in fact gone senile, and that is why he's not producing the show. John and Beck are off taking care of him, taking him to Grippy Sox.
I have plenty of pairs to share. It's okay.
Do any of us know where Eric went? Did we know, did he just go to, Bethesda and is hanging out there for the weekend and doing a secret medical outing weekend?
Well, I know last month when John wasn't available, it's because he was arrested trying to cross the Canadian border. So I assume Eric is, visiting Tijuana for something. I'm sure it's perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely would not want to start a rumor that there was anything untoward going on. But San Diego's right there. Like, it's not even hard.
Yeah.
I used to run jokes from Tijuana, and it's really easy.
I mean, it's pretty much walking distance from Eric's house anyways, but...
Well, I don't actually know where he lives. Do you know where he lives? You're in the Midwest.
I'm in the Midwest, which I'm right by Chicago. That's why, you were talking to Elizabeth earlier about, is this your first time to Amsterdam? I live right near Chicago. Everything I want is in Chicago. And I'm far enough from Chicago, so I have like a really nice backyard. There's cows in my backyard, literally.
Yeah, I love it.
The whole farm there. We can go to the river. We can do whatever we want. And then when like a concert comes to town, I go to Chicago. A conference is here. I go to Chicago. And we're going to go to just like the iOS meetup. I'm going to go to Chicago next month. Eric flew into town. I went to Chicago and picked him up. Like, it's a really nice balance where I live here. And like, I've lived in other parts of the U.S., but like very rarely do I feel the need to go places, which makes me very sheltered. But also, Sarah, I do want to run away and maybe hide over by you.
Lisbon is beautiful. It was 33 degrees today, like sunny as hell. Like I haven't had to put a hoodie on in months. It's fantastic.
We were actually talking about you at PHPverse. We were talking about you and Snipeyhead.
Sure.
Because Nuno was there, and I think Nuno's in Portugal, right? So yeah,
he's also based out of Lisbon, same city as me and Snipe. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I haven't seen Snipey in forever, so
I had drinks with her just a couple of weeks ago. She lives probably 2, maybe 3 kilometers from me, tops, easy walking distance.
Nice. Yes, yeah. Love to see it.
Y'all should visit. It's a nice town.
Do you remember when there used to be the idea of the PHP post? Do you remember that? Where we would take things back and forth to each other? So I took a bunch of things over to my friend who's in Amsterdam that she can't get over there, like DayQuil, NyQuil stuff, latex gloves or non-latex gloves, I guess. A couple of things.
By the way,
if
anyone is ever coming to a conference where I'm going to be at, bring me fucking Reese's Pieces. I want my Reese's Pieces and I cannot get Reese's Pieces and it's driving me nuts. Sorry.
Yes. That's the
PHP. No, I don't remember this PHP post. I don't remember this. No.
Maybe I made it up. I might have made it up in my head, but I feel like
I'm not saying you made it up. I'm just saying I don't remember it.
Because we would have to, you know, see people and carry things across borders and whatnot. So if someone in the comments remembered PHP post, please put it in there so I don't feel like I'm grippy socks.
You already have the grippy socks. I thought we said that.
Yes. Yeah. I have to. Yes.
Oh, you provided one Reese's piece. How nice of you.
Are you a Reese's Pieces person or are you a Reese's Pieces? Like there's
Reese's
like a
Reese's Pieces. I don't say the Reese's Pieces. I've heard it.
I say that. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is.
I mean, it's fun. It sounds like it's a lot of fun. I just I'm too autistic to say that.
Reese's Pieces.
I'm sorry. Reese's Pieces are one of the few candies I actually detest because I look at them and I see M&Ms. I taste M&Ms like just implicitly. And the fact that they're just deceptively like lying. I love a Reese's cup. I love anything else. I can't get past this is an M&M. It does not taste like an M&M. My brain cannot like put those two together. I don't know.
What if you closed your eyes and ate it?
It's looking like it's shaped like candy coated. It's like it everything about it is an M&M except for the taste.
So you're a Skittles hater too, then I would assume.
No, Skittles have a different shape and texture.
Fair. That's fair. I do.
Hold on. I'm a type 1 diabetic. So I literally carry Skittles in my bag that are in like medicine bottle containers. Like I put Skittles into these guys for medication when I go low.
I want to see Venice. You go through airport security and be like, I'm sorry, officer, those are Skittles. Can I see this?
I carry those to airport security all the time. Yeah. Nobody questions it.
They're like, I'm sorry, ma'am. We're going to need to confiscate these. Or like, what? I'm going to need to see your prescription. What do they say? I want to hear this.
They never said anything. But it's just like, it's a bottle of pills. Like, I mean, do they, like, for actual pills, have they ever, like, asked to see your labels?
Mm-mm.
They only kind of
look. I flew to California for Disney 2 years ago and had to carry my son's medications through. And, like, it was, they're like, okay, we need the original bottles for these. Like, they had to check all of them. I don't know what it was. Like, we were flying out of O'Hare.
Were any of these liquid medications or were they just pills?
One was.
Okay, well, it's the liquids they care about. Although they've never questioned my insulin bottles either. But they're only like 30 milliliters each, which is below some threshold. 10 milliliters each.
That's fair. I'm probably also a little bit more intimidating than you are at the airport.
I'm 188 centimeters tall. I'm pretty intimidating. Elizabeth, how intimidating am I?
So you can bring it out. You can channel your external Rue McClanahan, I guess. No, that would be Dorothy. Dorothy was more, yeah.
Dorothy was a statue, though. Yeah. Let's be honest. That woman had poise. Yes.
Yeah.
Has. She's probably still alive.
Yeah, maybe. Is she? Who knows?
I think so.
I think you can.
All right,
you
somebody can in the chat, figure this out. Producer Joe, is Rue McClanahan still alive?
Google it. We want to know.
We'll just get a little yes or a no at the bottom.
This episode is riveting. I know.
A little Ouija board moving around. Speak to us, Dorothy. I mean, Rue. Give us a sign.
Oh, stop. Come on.
Hold on. Special effects. There we go. Oh, she's giving us a sign.
Womp, womp, womp.
Again, audio listeners, I was flashing my lights as a sign.
And the chat says she passed away on June 3rd, 2010.
Oh, way to make a joke about it, you two. God, how insensitive.
Well, how insensitive both of you. We're just celebrating the recent anniversary of the passing.
Oh, yeah. We're marking the occasion. 16 years without Rue McClanahan. Very sad. Very sad. Should we get back onto PHP, perhaps?
Sure.
Or where are we at? We're like an hour in already, aren't we? Wow. I mean, we've stuck so faithfully to the topics of PHP. Do you want to comment on, like, verifiable code or the polling API or anything like that? Or do we want to, like, start to wrap it up?
You know, I would actually love to hear a little bit about the polling API, because I read through that. I did a lot of C development, and I'm very familiar with Select. I have nightmares about it still to this day. So I I would love to understand a little bit more about kind of why that RFC, how does that relieve that pain? I've read the RFC. Like, I just kind of like to hear more of it from either of your perspectives, if you have a moment.
But I think the main goal of this, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the main goal of this is to just unify. Like, we have like five or six different ways of doing the thing that this thing is trying to accomplish already, but you have to kind of like test it at runtime and say like, oh, are we on Windows or are we on Linux? Do we have this extension available or that extension? The idea is to have a single interface that just says, look, I got a streamable resource. I got this streamable resource, and it's freaking golden. Sorry, that is a really dated Illinois reference. Just provide a single interface that will call whatever we have available and give you something that can either be blocked on or can be blocked on with a bunch of other potential descriptors and say like, oh, here are the ones that are available to work with now, and here are the ones that are not available to work with. And the ultimate goal that is probably mentioned in this RFC somewhere. I haven't paged it all in, but I feel like this is part of the goal of getting us to a true async PHP. So if we have the ability to say, here's all these different little threadable things that we've got going on, act on whichever one returns first, having a consistent way to figure out which one's returning first is a part of that. So this is a stepping stone to true async, is my understanding of it. And hopefully that's at least vaguely correct. And somebody's going to tell me I'm stupid for thinking that's what it was.
So when would I use this if I'm building an app?
I'm going to be honest. You probably wouldn't. But Guzzle might, as part of, again, streamable resources from different backends. Maybe Guzzle determines that curl's not available, so I can't leverage multi-handles, and whatever else it depends on for the backends is not available. And it goes to this instead. I think in the longer term, you'll be able to use these underlying features as part of a larger framework component to say like, all right, I got a database query that's going out through the MySQL ND interface. I got an HTTP query that's going out through a curl interface somewhere. I've got a file that, or rather a pipe, that's running a process somewhere, and the output of that process is coming in, and I need to do different actions based on all these things. And maybe that'll take the form of promises. Maybe it'll take the form of actually like different coroutines that can run in parallel to each other. Where are you going to use it in like 8.6, where I'm assuming it's going to land? Probably nowhere, but maybe in 9.0, we're going to have something that brings it all together. More likely, yeah. That's my not fully paged intake on it. Again, I could be wrong.
You look like you want to say something, Elizabeth.
No, I was going to just say, I think that it was just reminding me of a conversation that I had with Larry Garfield, actually, about the coordination of various RFCs and how there really isn't a place to communicate that well and keep track of that. To your point, Sarah, if this, if the intent was to kind of start the foundational building blocks for later implementations of things, that would be great to just keep track of somewhere. My thought is it's related, but not exactly what you all are mentioning right here. So, yeah, sorry.
Well, those conversations are happening. And I think this dovetails into our discussion of like the foundation's role in a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. These conversations are happening between the people who are trying to make these things happen, some of which are foundation staff, some of which are not. They're happening either on the mailing list or they're happening in some Discord channel or they're happening, you know, wherever it's going on. One of the roles that the foundation could be doing there is interacting with people or having these conversations and saying like, hey, would you come and do a guest blog post? Or would you, you know, give somebody, within the foundation staff enough context that they can do a write-up about this?
Yeah.
So there's...
Or even just like having some kind of mechanism to understand the relationship better of how RFCs play into each other and to kind of track the progress of them as well. Because I think that
RFC has got a reference in it somewhere saying like, yes, this is part of a larger initiative.
Yeah.
And it fits in here and there in the other place. I just can't remember if I've read it in this one or if I read it in a different conversation.
Yeah, there was a few we were kind of talking about. But I think that just surfacing that, because I think that changes the way you view things, right? If you understand that, this is just a little piece of something that's coming later. So even if I don't use it right now, I might use it later. But not having that information anywhere on like a roadmap or like some kind of coordinated something, it isn't quite as impactful as it could be on its own. On its own, it's not as well understood or appreciated as it would be.
So Joe has highlighted a section of the RFC in his comment. From the RFC, asynchronous framework support, projects like AmpPHP, ReactPHP, and Revolt can use a single efficient backend instead of maintaining multiple backend implementations, which I think is one of the aspects of it I mentioned when I was kind of summarizing this. There you go. That's the one you want forward. Thank you. And you can, if anyone listening, of course, can go straight to the RFC, get all the information you want. This is at wiki.php.net/RFC/poll_API. And anytime you want to look at any RFC, they are all listed at wiki.php.net/RFC. You can see anything that is under discussion for potential inclusion in PHP will be on that page under, and this is the crazy part, a heading that says under discussion.
I'm so curious if people actually look at these read up on and keep updated on what's happening with these, just like the general community. I would love to know what you all think about that.
I think there's definitely people who are, because over the years, every like little side community I've been in, whether it was like Stack Overflow Room 11 or it was IRC or whatever, somebody will have written a bot that trolls this page, looks for new RFCs, and will give a little one line like, oh, new RFC just posted. RFC changed status from in progress to under discussion. RFC now in voting. RFC just closed voting, and here's the results. So somebody cares enough to be doing at least that much, which implies to me some larger number of people who are interested enough to at least care about those plugins being installed or to go to the site itself.
I'm just wondering if people actually read through them and like try to keep up with them and, you know, be a part of things, or if that's a gap that, you know, we could fill. I don't know.
You know, speaking on my side, there's a lot that is more technical and this kind of goes to when I asked Sarah before, like, when would I use this? I wouldn't. And so there's a lot of things that are being discussed there, obviously, that like to somebody who's just using PHP for casual use of like building tools, building whatever, that's not really something that they can approach, because you know, I've been developing my whole life and I know the terms, I know the technologies underneath, I know the C usually that like is what's powering a lot of the internals. But knowing how to steer and guide the language is a very different thing from what I'm, you know, building a new tool in the user space.
I think that, like, for someone like you who's keeping, you know, on top of what the language is doing and the best ways to use it, there's probably less value to keep up on the RFCs because, like, the really boring RFCs, the one are like, we're going to deprecate this behavior that nobody should have been doing for a long time. We're going to get rid of magic quotes. You weren't using magic quotes when we got rid of it, I'm sure.
I was using magic quotes.
Imagine today you is in the past and knowing what you know now. All right, bad example, fine.
You know, people say it all the time. If you don't look back at yourself and cringe, you haven't grown. I look back at myself, you know, as a person and cringe. I look back at myself as a developer and cringe so much more. And it is so terrible, like when we expect from junior developers and things to like, oh, what, that's an obvious mistake. You shouldn't have done that. Well, I did a lot of horrible, horrible mistakes. So it's fair to say.
I did my best with my junior developers to be like, okay, let's take the old, where is this going to take us? Where are we going to be? What is future us going to think when we look at this? and maybe this unexpected thing happens. What's that going to feel like?
Okay. About 7 years ago, I was working on a project that we knew we had to do a rewrite of it. And we tried to decide at that point, if we're doing a rewrite of it, what is 2 years from now us going to wish we had done? And we all came to a consensus of what we wish we would do. And then we didn't do that.
And because it will take too long.
It would take too long. It was too much work. It was like all the reasons we all know, like we all tell each other, ourselves like, oh yeah, we should do this, but we're going to do this instead. And instead we ended up with this horrible monstrosity. In fact, like I gave a talk on it called How Not to Throw a Code Mutiny, because exactly that, like we figured out the right solution and then did the wrong thing anyways. And we didn't have okay from management to do a rewrite in the first place, which is why we were trying to do it more subtly. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do it kind of in place, kind of in like just, you know, the like, the strangler kind of patterns to it of like, we're just going to rewrite this in place and they don't have to know it's a rewrite. But we knew 2 years from now, we're going to wish we had done more direct, more. And we did. Yeah.
That's okay. So, Claude will rewrite it for you now.
Only if you're nice to it.
But only if you say please. Mm-hmm. With that joke not landing at all, I will note that Joe kind of took a crack at that by referencing include. Parent directory includes function PHP, and then Ben piled on with functions.inc. Yeah, go and look at the actual php.net website code sometime, github.com/web-php, and /php/web-php. You're going to see code like that. The PHP website, and it's in better shape than it was 10 years ago, but the PHP website is very much a do-as-we-say-now-as-we-do affair. There is stuff in there that really feels like it was written in the PHP 4 era because it wasn't. It was written in the PHP 3 era and it has only slowly migrated since. There is more modern stuff in there. I've snuck some PHP 7-isms in. For the longest time, we were actually hamstrung by that because our mirror situation was literally different machines. They would all rsync the code. We had no control over what version of PHP was running. Some PHPNet hosts would be like 5.6 point something, and others would be like 5.1 point something at the exact same time because everybody was administering those servers. Thank God we're not in a situation now. We have CDNs actually doing our load balancing, so we can control what version of PHP is being run. We can write modern code, and it's getting a lot better, but it is still very much a do as we say, not as we do sort of thing.
Actually, I'm going to ask you both a question because I have two experts here that I don't get to talk to very often. I used to. I used to hear about all the RFCs and things like that from the PHP Town Hall podcast. Whatever happened to that podcast? Like, whoever, like, all I remember, like, to this day, the only thing I remember of the podcast is the intro music had Ben is a failed skydiver. That's all I remember, the whole thing. But like, I don't see those guys at tech anymore. I don't know, like, what kind of happened to them as part of the community, or where did they go?
I mean, yeah, there have been many podcasts over the years, and actually this is a good time to plug next week's show, which is going to happen on Wednesday. We are going to have two additional guests on that show. We are going to have, well, at least one additional guest. The second one is not 100% confirmed yet. We are going to have Paul Reinheimer and hopefully Sean Coates, two podcasters from PHP's old times. And Elizabeth just lost her stuff because she is so excited to talk to both of them. Oh, wait, you're not going to be here, are you, Elizabeth?
Honestly, no. I love the Grammys. No. Oh, man. Maybe I can switch days. I'm going to work on it.
Well, we moved it to Wednesday because on Thursday, I'm probably going to be a boat off the coast of Galicia. So I can't really do Thursday. And Eric is still going to be playing hooky in Tijuana or whatever he's doing. But yes, the town hall. That was Ben Edmonds. And who else was on that? Was it? That wasn't... What's his name? Yeah, Phil Sturgeon. That was the one. I was about to say the guy with the bike who wakes up in Denny's parking lot. Yes, Phil Sturgeon. So, yeah. No, last I saw Ben Edmonds was across the platform on the MTA in New York about 8 years ago. I haven't seen him since. He seemed okay, though. But to the point, podcast come, podcast go. The PHP Roundtable, Sammy started that ages and ages ago. The elephant, right? I believe that's the Puyita elephant, named after me. Thank you very much. Eric took over the PHP Roundtable podcast, and I think we managed to get about 3 episodes out before he got distracted. So in theory, Joe and I are going to take that off of Eric's hands and actually do it properly. We'll see what happens with that. But Elizabeth, I believe you had a note on the strategy report somewhere about a Foundation Effect podcast.
Yes, what's up with that? We're going to be starting one called, tentatively called, PHP at Scale. So what we want to do is tell the stories of people using PHP in large instances or interesting, curious, really pushing PHP to the edge there. We just want to get those stories out and help just spread the word, you know. I think it'll be super interesting because I don't know that anybody is doing that. If anybody knows of a podcast that already exists that is doing that, let me know, because we certainly don't want to compete with anybody. But I don't think this is happening, and we would really like to see it. Just help, you know, tell that story outside the PHP bubble, or even inside the PHP bubble. I think that would be interesting to everybody.
No, that actually sounds really exciting. The hazard I'm going to warn you of: a lot of new podcasts, they make one episode as a pilot, they make a second episode, they make a third episode apologizing that they haven't made an episode for 6 months, they make a fourth episode saying they're going to do this more often, and they never make a fifth. So don't fall for that trap.
We will do our best. Yeah, we will do our best. It's going to be Ben Marks. So if it happens, we'll just blame him. But I know we already have a lot of people in the queue, or at least that have expressed interest in being on it and telling those stories. So hopefully we'll have enough. But yeah, Ben Marks is going to be hosting that, I believe. So yeah.
Has life been kicking out episodes? I admit I've been too busy to actually keep up.
Oh, we haven't started it yet, so it should launch.
No, I mean the Alive and Kicking.
Oh, Alive and Kicking. I thought
that's on this channel.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Joe's telling me it's keeping up. Good.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know.
Gotta keep those guys honest.
I know the community corner is still going there. I've got an interview next week, actually, scheduled for that.
Hey.
Nice.
So.
Oh, they changed the day it was recording. That's why I feel like I don't know what's going on. Okay. Apparently, Alive and Kicking is recording tomorrow morning, whatever morning means. It's going to be morning for me in about 6 or 7 hours. So.
Yeah,
what are you?
They're in the same time zone as me. I'm in West right now, which is the same as BST, which I think is, you know, it's GMT plus, it's UTC plus one in this.
Plus one, I'm sorry, okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Time zones are hard, I can't.
I hate them.
I knew you were off by one, and I still got it wrong.
Only during the summer. In the winter, it is UTC. Anyway, I feel like we've come to the natural end here. unless somebody else has got more topics they want to throw out.
I just want to say I don't want to start coding when we have to start handling time zones on other planets. I can't do it anymore at that point. I'm done. Claude's going to have to handle it. Somebody else is going to handle it. We need new people coming in to handle it. I'm done when I start to having Martian time zones or whatever else. I just couldn't handle it. Sarah, you've got code on Mars, don't you?
I do have a little bit of code on Mars through the Curl project. It's a strong statement to make. I put one little diff into Curl, therefore I have code on Mars. And it was for the helicopter which crashed. So read into that what you will.
I don't think it matters. I think it's still a yes.
It's still cool. I will take that W, trust me. But no, we will take Derek's head, we'll put it in a jar, and he can update TimeLib or DateTimeLib to handle the other planets.
There we go. And
we're fine. PHP will continue to run the internet well into the future. I don't know if PHP can count daytime, but we will anyway. Who cares? When is it Mongo? We were doing a review of all the open source libraries we're pulling in as part of the server. And one of my coworkers is like, what the hell is this daytime lib? And who is this Derek Revens? Like, he works for us. It's okay. He used to work for us. He wasn't anymore, but it was just kind of a hilarious moment. What is this fly by my pants library? What is this doing in here? It's like it's in PHP, which is used in a lot of places. It is tested. It's not okay. Anyway, thank you all for coming and joining us for the PHP Architect podcast on this beautiful June 11th.
11th.
In your part of the world, still is the 11th. Sorry, I looked at my watch and said the 12th, and I had to do the math, hard math. Minus one. On this beautiful June 11th, 2026, I have been Sarah. Next to me is Ben.
Elizabeth.
And I'm Holly.
Fantastic. That was so smooth. Looks like we rehearsed it. Hopefully, producer Joe has not fallen asleep, and he will spin us out right about now. Goodbye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.